Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Before I read my text, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm preaching to you today, that the miracle is knocking. Look at your neighbor and say, the miracle is knocking. I want to preach to somebody. I want to preach to everybody. And I want to preach to as many as will hear me today. Amen. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 5 of the New King James Version says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. He thought that he was dreaming. Verse 10. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Nobody did it for them. It did it by itself. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. But immediately she ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, Rhoda, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting. So they said, well, it's not Peter, but maybe you saw something. It's just an angel. It's his angel. And while all this was happening, the scripture says in verse 16, Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And verse 17 finally says, But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning that there is a miracle in this room today. And it is very, very stubborn. And it is very, very persistent, and it is still knocking. If you would put your Bibles, iPads down, raise your hands to heaven, and let's pray one more time. God, we love you and we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence that's come into this house. God, I pray that you would let the hearts and minds of your people be open and receptive to your word and to what you want to speak to us today. God, let our ears be attuned to the Spirit. Let us hear what you would say to us today, God. I pray that you would take us beyond ourselves, that you would just let your Spirit minister in the way that it wants to in this house. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Over and over in the New Testament, God has affirmed to us that He absolutely will
work His will.
Yes, He will.
And that with this divine will of God, that there is nothing that Satan can do to stop it. In fact, I stand here and tell you a truth today that whatever you're going through right now, Satan cannot make it harder. He cannot make it darker. He cannot make it last longer without the approval and the authority of Almighty God. I tell you today that God desires to be a part of your life and a part of the life of this church. There are not enough chains, and I want to say it emphatically today, that there are not enough chains or prison guards or cells to keep the answer from you. Because Jesus Christ has walked into this house at 110 Mooresgrove Road in Winterville, Georgia this morning, and He has come with a divine answer to tell somebody that you are going to make it, you're going to get through this trial, and it's going to be all right. I've come to tell somebody today that the devil is a liar. I've come to tell someone today that you are not going down, but you're about to get up. I have come to tell someone today that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And I wish that you would hear a preacher on this Sunday morning when I tell you there is a knock at the door today. And if you will open it up, He will come in. And He is going to change your life. Right. Note the miracle in our text this morning. Prayer was made without ceasing by the church for Peter unto God. Right. The saints had received word that the apostle Peter was in prison, and so they gathered at Mary's house. And it was there that the church was in action and the church was in operation. And they began to pray, and it was done without ceasing. And we know that the Holy Ghost was in operation and that the angel of the Lord was dispatched to the prison where Peter was being kept. That is powerful, powerful prayer. And wouldn't it be awesome today to know that the prayers that you are praying has angels standing at attention ready to receive their assignment? I am telling you right now, do not give up on your son. Do not give up on your daughter. Do not give up on your backslidden spouse, because there are angels standing at attention, ready to move because of your prayers. And she opened not the gates. Rhoda was so overwhelmed with joy. She was so full of gladness. Note again the miracle. Prayer was made without ceasing, and then God answered. That prayer was irrepressible. It was not cold, dull. It was not lifeless or void. It was not a lethargic prayer, but it was a power-packed prayer. And it was anointed, and it was heaven-sent. When the appearances were dead set against him, they thought for the most part, this cannot be. This is not possible. It cannot be happening right now. There is no way that God would actually hear the prayers we're praying and answer them, and now Peter is standing at the front door knocking. There's no way. It doesn't happen that way. But I've come to tell somebody today that we serve the kind of God that when prayer goes up, there is power and authority that comes down. You keep on saying, I just don't know. But let me tell you something this morning. I have seen with my own eyes God do miracles. I have seen God in action. And I am telling you that we serve the kind of God that can still make the lame to walk. He can still make the deaf to hear. And He can still make the blind to see. We serve a God that can speak peace into the middle of every storm. We serve a God who can cause cancer to fall off. Why? Because He is knocking today. And whosoever will, let them open up and let Him in. The church was praying and was shocked. And is that not shocking to us that the church was shocked? Now, let me be honest, I think we are all kind of like that sometimes. We pray, we fast, we sow in tears, we reap in joy, and then God actually moves, and we stand back and can't believe that what we prayed about actually just came to pass. Oh my goodness, this prayer thing actually does work. And the early church was no different. But there was a real spiritual transport that took place that night and occurred while they were praying. The Holy Ghost was already on its way before that prayer meeting ever even started. The angel was already on a plane heading to where he had to go. There was a moving in the Holy Ghost, and the divine spiritual world heard prayers circulating up to heaven. And when God heard the prayers of his people, he was on the move. And I am glad today to know that we serve a God who is still knocking. He is still moving. He's still working. He is still preaching. He is still hearing. He is still answering. And he still wants to do something for you and for me today. Somebody say amen. He wants to do it. The church was praying. And the Bible says Rhoda opened not the door. And I'd be kind of frustrated if I was Peter. You're telling me I just spent all this time locked up. Y'all know me. You've been praying for me. You're not going to open this door. I'd have been a little frustrated. But the difference between her opening not the gate and running and telling the church and going back and opening the gate was just enough time spent that it delayed the miracle just that much longer. And I wonder how many of us have been praying for a miracle. And we've been praying for answers, yet sometimes we're not even aware that the answer is already at our door and it's knocking. And it's saying, let me into your life. Let me in on your fears. Let me in on your worries. Let me in on your troubles and your adversity. And we're not listening for the knock. We're not paying attention when the angel of the Lord is knocking. And it's not just the angel of the Lord, but it is the Lord God Almighty himself. And I stand here today and tell you that it would do all of us good right now if we would just say, Lord, if you're speaking, I will listen. Lord, if you are knocking on my door, I will open for you. Because, Lord, you know what I've been praying for. You know what I've been searching for. You know what I've been fasting for. Lord, I have placed it in your hands. And God, I'm opening up to you right now. And I believe that if he speaks it, you will receive it. I believe that if he knocks and you open, he will change everything in a moment. So we must pray and we must sow in tears. We must fast, but we also must open the door when he is knocking. Peter's night visit to Mary's house is regarding that every house in the town in that day, even the large villages of Palestine, had a large iron knocker on the front door. Generally, it was nothing more fancy than a large, massive iron ring that had a pin through it, and you'd bang it on the door, and it would let people know that you're trying to get in. It was a BC ring, if you would. That sounded funnier in my head. It happens. And when someone wanted to come in, they would knock 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And then they would pause and listen for a response. And if there was no response, the person on the wrong side of the door would repeat the process. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? And they would listen. And the door was never opened under any circumstance before a question was asked. Who is it? The doors were locked. They were never opened without knowing who was the person at the other side of the door. And if that question put them, and if there was any doubt, a further question would be asked, who art thou and what business do you have here? A name and a title had to be given. There must be a report made to the master of the house before the door was ever opened. So you can tell me who you are, but I've got to go and see if I can actually let you in first. So when we look at Rhoda and we see this situation and you think, well, why wouldn't she just open the door? It's Peter. She recognized her voice. Scripture said so. It was the custom of the day that when someone knocked on the door, that the servant would go to the master of the house and state who was at the door and say, what do you want me to do? So we see Rhoda and can understand that she was only fulfilling the known tradition of the day when she ran back and told the master of the house, Peter's outside, and he's knocking on the door. What do you want me to do? And the church looked at her and said, you are out of your mind. Peter is in prison. I don't know if you checked, but that means that he's locked up. That means he's not here. Rhoda, you are nuts. I don't know what you heard or what you had for dinner, but it's not Peter. They said it might be an angel. That's what it is. It's an angel. Until finally Rhoda had enough and said, okay, y'all can stay here and you can say it's just an angel. You can say that it's not the Lord moving in the miraculous way that we came here to specifically pray for. She said, you do that. I'm going to go and I'm going to let him in. And the Bible says that while they were deliberating whether or not it was an angel or whether or not it was Peter, or if she was just crazy and out of her mind, the knocking was still going. Peter never stopped knocking. Somebody said there was a miracle outside the door and it was still knocking. And I am glad today to know that we serve a God who does not give up when sometimes we are too busy trying to figure out whether he can or whether he can't. I'm glad that we serve a God who stands there and says, if you will just open the door, I would like to get into your life. I've come to tell someone today, if you have got a mess in your life, why don't you just open the door? Why don't you just take a chance one time and see what'll happen? Why don't you say, Lord, I didn't know it was you, but now that you're here, you can do whatever you want. My house is your house. This place is your place. Whatever you want is yours, Lord. They thought Rhoda was out of her mind. And during the absence of Rhoda being at the door, making such a report to the master, Peter continued to knock while she was telling the master, he's here. What I'm saying this morning is this: when we are standing in this congregation and standing at the door and the answer is already here, before you ever got up this morning, your answer was already here. Before you got dressed this morning, your answer was already here. And I have come to tell somebody struggling in their finances, struggling in your marriage, struggling in your walk with God, that he is already here. Before you ever opened your eyes, he said, I'm going to meet you at the point of your need. Ladies and gentlemen, our job this morning is simple. It's just to open the door. Our job is easy. Just lift your hands and say, come in, God. And receive it in the name of Jesus. All we have to do this morning is unlock the door and he will come in. Don't let your fear keep you from unlocking the door. Don't let your anxiety or whatever it is that may be stopping you keep you from opening the door for Jesus. Because he has come into this house this morning specifically for you. He has come into this place this morning to meet with you. We experienced his presence so strong during that worship service. He came into this place and saturated this atmosphere. Why? Because he is reaching for you. He's beating on my heart. He's beating on your heart this morning. And we have a choice whether or not we are going to let him in. We have a choice whether or not we're going to open our hearts to him or whether we're going to keep our hearts closed. He will knock, but if I don't let him in, he will not come in. Because he is a perfect gentleman. He won't force himself on anyone. He has extended a chance this morning to make a choice. So what are you going to do? What choice are you going to make? What's your decision going to be today? Because I have the choice to come to church and to go through the mechanics and the motions, or I can say I'm sick and tired of this life that I've been living, and I don't know how many more times the angel of the Lord's going to be dispatched, so I'm going to get it today while the getting is good. I'm going to jump in head first. I'm going all in all the time. Why? Because he stands at the door and knocks. He stands at the door and he knocks today. Pastor, we've been praying as a church for revival in this community and in this region, but we don't need to keep praying for it because revival is knocking on the door. I believe, and I know what I'm about to say is bold, and there are going to be lifelong Pentecostals who will disagree with me. But I believe it is the will of God that we fill stadiums and that not be some niche thing that we do every 2 years at North American Youth Congress. But that is the norm. Come on. If it can happen in all of these faraway countries, why can't it happen here? It is the will of God that revival sweep through our land. It is the will of God that hundreds of thousands upon millions of people would hear the message of the gospel at one time. It is the will of God. And our job as the 21st century church is not to get caught up in politics. It's not to get caught up in who's going to take away our guns or not to get caught up in what's going to make wickedness more prevailing in the land. No, our job is and always has been to open the door and let Christ reign and to preach the gospel to whosoever will. And we are going to answer the call today. We are going to answer the door today. Our job is simply to say, come on in, Lord, because we want to move of your spirit. We must have the will of God above all else. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to move or remove, God, if that's what it takes to have a move of your spirit, then so be it. God, if you knock, I'm going to answer. Somebody needs to do that right now. Somebody needs to answer right now. What is the Spirit saying to you this morning? What is God trying to communicate to you? What miracle are you waiting on? I'm trying to get somebody to understand the miracle is knocking and it is time to answer. We have to have a move of His Spirit, church. His desire is to dwell among His people. His desire is to bless. His desire is to heal. And if we are not here for a moving of His Spirit, then what are we here for? Because if it is not for the Spirit of God, then this is just another social club. Everything we do is just routine and tradition and vain. And in some churches it might be that way, but I believe this morning I am preaching to a group of people that want Him more than anything else. Can you hear Him knocking? Can you hear Him knocking on your heart? Can you hear Him knocking on the door of your spirit? Can you hear Him knocking saying, I have the answer you've been searching for. I have the answer you've been fasting for. I have the answer you've been praying for. Can you hear Him this morning? The Holy Ghost is a promise to whosoever will, let him come. But you have to open the door. In order for God to do what He wants to do in your life, you must open the door. And I understand it can be discouraging when we look around and everybody else is getting blessed. Everybody else is getting healed. Everybody else is getting the job or the promotion, the car, the house, the relationship, the status symbol, whatever it may be. But it just doesn't seem like it ever happens for us. We don't deny that God can, but we doubt that He will do it for us. Now, I've come this morning, JT, to preach to somebody whose faith is so small that they can't even see it anymore. But I seem to remember Scripture saying it is faith the size of a mustard seed that will move mountains. Just a little bit of faith. And I believe that in the next few moments, God is going to help you unlock the door. And I believe that He's going to meet you at the point of your need. And I believe that your faith is going to be restored this morning.
I know that you've been walking through heartache and pain. I know you've been discouraged. I know it feels like every road has led to a dead end. And I know it feels like your dreams have been crushed. I know. I've been there myself. And it hurts, and it's hard, and it's uncomfortable. It's taxing on your body and on your mind and on your spirit. And I know that there are those under the sound of my voice, even those who will listen to this on a recording, that the enemy has crept into your mind and whispered, you're never going to be happy again. You will never amount to more than what you are right now because God has forgotten you. You are alone. You are less than. You are nothing. You will never have joy or peace again. The devil is a liar because happiness belongs to you. Joy belongs to you. Peace is yours this morning. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to search for it because the answer is already here and he's searching for you. All you got to do is reach up and unlock the door. Let me tell somebody this morning, your dream is going to come to pass. How many would like to see chains fall off of you the same way it happened for Peter? How many of you would like some happiness in your life? Some joy in your life? But even though you have the Holy Ghost, you have allowed the devil to cheat you out of every ounce of happiness and joy. But it is promised to you in the Word of God that you ought to be happy. Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, somebody. Your home ought to be happy. Your marriage ought to be happy. Your children ought to be happy. For too long, you have allowed yourself and your family to be robbed of the joy that you were promised. And it is time to get your joy back. And it is time to unlock the door. Because there is no devil in hell that can stop what God is wanting to pour into your life. There is no situation or circumstance that is greater. You just have to open the door. As the musicians come, we all stand across this place. You can have all the money in the world. You can have the finest job, the finest home, go on the finest vacations, eat at the finest places, and still be crawling around in your own frustration. Scripture said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth, but it consists in whether or not he is going to let his dreams come true and God come in. Whether or not he will take heed to the fact that God is a God of promises and that he is a God who brings his word to pass every single time. If God said it, he will do it because he is faithful to his word. If God said he was going to do something for you, that is a check you can take to the bank and cash today because his checks never bounce. When God says he is going to do something, just stand by and watch because it is on its way. He is a God, Drake, who calls. He is a God who seeks after his people. Luke said Jesus came to seek and save lost. We are so blessed as a church and as a people to have the gospel message. And what is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is really nothing more than an invitation to those who are far from God to experience a life of endless possibilities in Christ. It is an offer of salvation. It's a free gift that he wants each and every person to receive. I tell you today, it is not the will of God that any would perish. It is not the will of God that anyone would be lost for eternity. For God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is knocking today. Can you hear him? Can you hear the master? He's standing at the door and he wants to come in. He wants to meet with you and he wants to touch your need. He's knocking. He's knocking. Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with salve that you may see. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Put verse 20 back up. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. When somebody comes to your home, they knock on your door, you make the choice of whether or not you're going to let them in. It is your decision. It's nobody else's. Nobody else can decide for you. It's your home. That's your door. Whatever comes through there is your decision. You're responsible for it. And I've come to tell someone this morning that Jesus is here today. He's knocking. I have a simple question. Will you answer? In verse 14, he was knocking on the door of the Laodicean church. He was outside of the church and he was knocking. He was saying that if you'll just repent, I will come in. To this lukewarm church, Jesus rebukes them for their apathy and their laziness and refusal to make a choice to live for him. He said, I know your deeds. I know what you do and I know what you've done. That you're neither hot nor cold, but that you're just lukewarm. You've got to understand this morning that the Laodiceans did not reject Christ, but they also did not hunger for him. They were happy to exist. We got a nice church building. We got some people that come on Sundays, Tuesday nights, and Wednesday nights. We've got money to pay the electric bill and to pay the water bill at the church. We come in on Sunday morning and we go through the routine and we leave feeling better, having accomplished what we've been taught to do. We're just happy where we are, because if we move anywhere else, it's going to be uncomfortable. That involves making a decision. And nobody really likes making decisions. They were just happy to exist. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He was asking, will you make room for me? Will you make room for the miracle that I've brought to you? I want to come in. He asked, will you make your place, your heart a place where I can dwell? I'm knocking because I want to come in. But I will not force my way in. This is your choice. This is your decision. I stand here before you sweet people of God on this Sunday morning. And I tell you that Jesus is knocking. Your miracle is knocking. The thing you've been praying for is knocking. The need that you have, the answer for it is knocking. And I'm asking somebody this morning to open the door. I don't really have anything else to pray. I'm just going to open these altars, and whatever happens in the next few minutes, God's going to do something. And so I'm telling you right now, if you've got a need in your life, I wish you would have enough faith to take a step out of your pew and come to an altar. Find a place to kneel. Find a place to stand. But I'm asking that somebody would open the door this morning, because Jesus is knocking. Jesus has come today to meet your need. He holds the answer in the palm of his hand. All you have to do is open the door. Oh, come on, somebody. What do you need this morning?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.